You can go to 1 Peter 3. That's where we're going to start. Thank you, Shannon, for teaching last week. What did you learn? Hopefully you learned. What did you learn last week? We'll start with, what was it about? Can you remember that?
Men and women are different.
Okay. In what ways? Men are what?
Shallow.
They can be at times, can't they? Yes.
Shannon said, if I remember right, that women have spaghetti for breakfast.
Mm-hmm. That is absolutely true. How did he apply that?
That's all I got out of it.
That's all you got out of it?
I was single-mindedly focused on it.
Mm-hmm. So he was talking about how women's minds, a lot of time, the multitask concept of everything is connected. You start down one noodle and you're touching like 50 others at the same time. And a lot of times that's how women think. I will say that's probably not every single woman, but on the whole, that's what many have observed. While men, they compartmentalize, they have little boxes that they put things in, and they can close those boxes when they want. There's a couple ways that men and women are different. What else did y'all talk about? Logical. Okay. And how would that, let me think how to ask that. In a general conversation, how would that apply? I mean, so you have the same situation and a woman is emotional and man's logical. How would that differ in how they approach a situation? Right.
I'm going to take that completely differently, both in the first way than I would the second.
Sure. First way sounds sincere.
Yes.
While the second way seems to have some other concept or thought in there as well. Right. And then to go with the emotional or the logical, sometimes you're presented with a problem and the woman can think about that in an emotional way. How does that affect the family? How does that affect us? What, you know, how are we going to get through this? Whereas the man might think about, here's what happened and here's the next step that we need to take care of. Neither are wrong, neither are right, but that's the way people approach it. And in some ways, that's the way God designed it so that we can help each other. What else? Okay. And what is submission?
Respect.
Okay.
He would have less say, but he considers the whole family, or should consider the whole family, what's best for everyone.
Sure. And we're going to get back to the submission in just a second here. Anything else that y'all talked about? Did I get it?
It was one other thing, but of course I remember everything. that it was comparing how the church is to submit to Christ,
mm-hmm.
in the same way comparing how that relates to a woman submitting to her husband.
Okay.
And sort of drawing the parallels there.
Excellent. Excellent. Okay. Let's look at 1 Peter 3 real quick here. We're going to talk about in the chapter 4 of the book, the meekness and quiet spirit. And this is where this comes from, or one of the primary passages this comes from. So 1 Peter chapter 3, I'll start in verse 3. It says, "Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious." And then it goes on to talk about that's how women of the Old Testament lived their lives. So we have this word meek or gentle. So what are we talking about here? What is this concept that he's expressing to women, but all of us? What's he trying to say? Yes.
First of all, the whole thing here about arrogance and conceit and so on like that, dealt back to Caesar's wife. Caesar's wife would get up and have elaborate displays in her hair and everything. She worked on everything outside to make herself and him look good.
Okay.
And here Peter is saying, don't be that way. You're submissive. You're different. Work on the inner person.
Good. So the first thing that we can get out of this is it's not about the external. It's not really about what everybody else sees. I could even go on to say it's not about the vain things. It's about what's inside. It's an attitude that God is trying to get out of wives here. So what is this meekness? We talked about blessed are the meek just recently. So what is that? What is meekness? Yes.
Mm-hmm. But he doesn't. He submits to what his rider wants him to do and is under his control.
I think you've hit on a couple of very good things here. And one of them specifically being that it's a higher purpose. That you understand it's very related to submission. And ultimately this meekness comes from submission to Christ. But also in the context, it is talking about husbands. I found this quote, this one here, that I thought was very good. "Meekness is calm confidence, settled assurance, and rest of the soul. It is the tranquil stillness of a heart that is at rest in Christ. It is the place of peace. Meekness springs from a heart of humility, radiating the fragrance of Christ." I feel like that expresses it well, that it takes an understanding of who Christ is and your relationship to him to understand how you must serve him. Then you come to a peace within yourself to say, whatever comes, I can handle it without overreacting or getting angry. That's all in there as well. Comment so far on that.
That requires a lot of discipline, whether you're talking about meekness for a wife or the Christian walk. It's why we need to discipline ourselves constantly in prayer and ask him to quiet our spirits and to give us understanding of how we can put our selfish ambitions aside.
Well said. Does this passage mean that women need to be silent?
Jesus was described as meek in the same kind of way.
Yep. Was he silent? I think there were times he was. And I think there is a time that all of us need to choose silence. That we need to say, I need to not say anything in this situation. But I do not think that this is talking about a woman or a wife needs to be gentle and quiet and never speak. That's not the concept we're getting here. The concept is this gentleness. It's this kind of like what I said earlier. It's a lack of overreacting, understanding, like it says, humility, and your place. I would not say that you don't stand up for things. You take a stand for things, especially things of the word. But you do it in a gentle way. And that's true of anybody. But I bring it up here because it's in the context of marriage. And that's where I'd like to go next, is we have this context of marriage right here, and that's what Peter's trying to say. So let's start back in verse 1. It says, "Wives, be subject to your own husbands, so that even if some do not obey the word, they may be won without a word by the conduct of their wives, even when they see your respectful and pure conduct. Do not let your adorning be external, the braiding of hair and the putting on of gold jewelry or the clothing you wear, but let your adorning be the hidden person of the heart with the imperishable beauty of a gentle and quiet spirit, which in God's sight is very precious. For this is how the holy women who hoped in God used to adorn themselves, by submitting to their own husbands, as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, and you are her children, if you do good and do not fear anything that is frightening." It's all tied up in this subjection thing. That right after he's saying, "Wives, be subject to your husbands," if he doesn't believe, win them over with your conduct, well, what conduct is that? It's not the fancy hair. It's not the jewelry. It's your gentle and quiet spirit. Comments on that?
In 1 Timothy 2,
yes,
he said we should pray for all those who are in positions of power that we may lead a peaceful and quiet life. So that part of the quietness and peacefulness applies to all of us, as you've already mentioned. But just to confirm what you're saying about it not being, women are not expected to be heard or something like that.
Right.
It is a type of spirit.
Absolutely. Yes, Shannon.
I'm just going to make a general comment that even though meekness runs with weakness, it's definitely not weakness. And as a matter of fact, I think a lot of the world has the concept of meekness as in it's just a kind of a synonym for that of being weak.
Right.
But so many times having self-control and staying quiet and reserved takes so much more strength than just uttering out the first thing that comes to mind.
You're exactly right. It is hard sometimes to just say, "I am not going to get into this. I'm not going to act like the rest of the world in this regard." You're right. Any other comments about the meekness specifically? Yes, sir.
What Peter said.
Yes.
James 1:26 says, "Every Christian is supposed to bridle his tongue." The word "his" there is generic, meaning any human Christian.
Right.
So, and if we don't, our whole religion is wrong.
Right. Right.
That's not what he's talking about. He's talking about an attitude. And it's like he's talking about Sunday night. Well, it isn't the fact that God said just that he was trying to be arbitrary toward women. It's just that women have a certain place and a certain role, and that's important.
Right.
And a man has a certain place and a certain role, and the work he does is also important.
Absolutely. Thank you. Did you have something, Haley? Right. And I'd like to make another comment about context here, is that right after all this he says about husbands and wives, he gets into the suffering that we do as Christians, being like the suffering of Christ. And I think that that is more related to the unbelieving husband than anything. Because if you are a wife in a situation that you're in a relationship with an unbelieving man that is domineering or abusive, that is a difficult situation. And it's going to be hard to be meek and gentle and quiet. But that's what God has commanded in that situation. And count it as your sufferings with Christ for the word. Any other comments on that? All right, let's move back into submission for a little while. And I'd like to get more practical than Shannon did. My understanding is he gave an overview of the concepts of submission. So refresh us on that. What is submission? What does it mean? Right. So ultimately, it's a way of saying obey what he says. But it goes beyond just obedience, right? There's more to it, and we'll get into that in a minute. Anything else on what is submission? Why must wives submit to their husbands? That's exactly right. We have it right here, 1 Peter 3. We have it in Ephesians. Straight up, because God said so. Not because man is any better than woman. Woman is any less than man. Straight up because God said so. And I do feel like that is an important thing to remember, that that is part of your service to God. Just like on the other side, me being a leader for my family is my responsibility to God as well. And again, not because I'm any better than my family. I'd like to bring up the authority tree, I'll call it, to where we have the Father on top, Jesus the Son next, the husband, the wife, and then the children. That comes from 1 Corinthians 11, verse 3. So the reason I bring this up here is the things on top are always higher than the things below them. Now, fortunately, the first two are always united. They have the same will. They expect the same thing. So there's no issue there. But I bring it up to say there may be a case where the husband is making rules that don't align with the first two. Is the wife or the children expected to submit in those situations? Right. And it doesn't matter what man it is. Beyond spiritual matters, what are women expected to submit to their husbands in?
Everything.
That's the way it looks in the scripture, doesn't it? What does the first verse here say? Be subject to your own husbands. It doesn't say be subject to your husbands in a couple things. Or in these specific areas, it just says, be subject to your own husbands. And again, I'd like to point out that, yes, it would be nice if every woman was married to a leader man, a godly man that is perfect. But no man is perfect. And there's going to be times that this is more difficult than others. Just like there's going to be times on the man's side, it's going to be difficult for him to be the leader that he needs to be.
This gets into where we talked about before a little bit. There's got to be a give and take. There's got to be a respectful conversation back and forth to help one another.
Absolutely.
Because every man, God says they have the fence, but a wise leader knows that certain things, like for example in my case, I'm not as good a money manager as Michelle is. That's what she did. I turned everything over to her. And I said, you tell us what we're going to live on and what we can and what we can't do. It's just using the brains God gave us.
Right, right. And, I mean, you're giving an example of a delegation that says, you're still the leader, but you've said, I am saying in my leadership position, this is how you need to accomplish your situation. And there is a little bit of submission on your part in that as well. Exactly. Exactly. So, let's talk very practically now. What are some very practical ways wives should submit to their husbands, or how they should submit to their husbands? You can give examples if you want. You can be more general if you want, but be practical. How do we apply this every single day? I'll start with one. Did you have one? Oh, sorry. I thought your hand was raised. Directions?
Directions on the road.
Okay, and how do you mean?
I'm kidding. It's before the days of all this, what do you call these things? Tell us how to get where
GPS on the phone, smartphone.
I can remember Lee and I having several discussions where I knew emphatically where I was going. 30 minutes later, I pulled over and asked him.
So how would that be a submission? Oh, okay, that doesn't add. It could. Yeah.
She was submissive to let me do what I thought was best. And
there you go. I think that's a good example. That's a good example.
I think it comes up a lot when you deal with children, because you have to just make some decisions, and inevitably, even after lots of discussions, sometimes you don't see something the same. You know, how... what a rule should be, or what appropriate punishment should be, or something like that. And, you know, there might be times when you say, you know, that's fine, we'll do it that way. But there may be other times where, you know, the father has to say, no, this is what we're going to do. This is the answer. We've discussed it. This is, you know, and that. Just sometimes when there's a disagreement, somebody has to make a call, and that might be an example.
Right, and I think that's a great example. It's important, I believe, and this kind of goes along with what you're saying, to be unified among others. There is a time that you come together and you discuss things. You say, this is how I think it needs to be done. You know, this is how I think it needs to be done. You come to a decision, and then when you approach your children, it's unified. Or you're around other people, you are unified in what you're saying. Because if the husband is saying one thing and the wife is like, I really don't believe in that, I think that's stupid, and she goes off and tells someone else, this is what we believe, that's not a unity. But you bring up a good point with the children, with obedience to the children, obeying their parents, that you're not always going to agree on how that's supposed to be done, the discipline. And ultimately, it comes down to the leader's decision on that. Any others? Yes.
I think, you know, another thing that could be important, another way that a wife can submit is to take the family's budget, the family's income, and make that stretch as far as it can possibly stretch. Whether it be even something as small as like coupon clipping or, you know, bargain shopping or, you know, grocery shopping in the best, you know, on sale and things like that. I mean, it's small things, but that could be a very submissive and, very respectful thing to do to help the family's situation financially.
Absolutely. I'll brag on Heather a little bit here in regards to that she, if there's any purchase that she feels like we need to make outside of our normal, she asks me about it. And it's as small as I might need to get some clothes for the kids. Most of the time I'm fine with it, but the point is she's always asking me about that. And I think that that is an example of that submission. Did you have something? Mm-hmm.
So verse 7 says, joint heirs together in the grace of life.
Right.
That means they operate together. They don't go this way and go this way. They work together like this.
Absolutely. Very good point. What else? Yes, ma'am.
I would say modesty.
Okay.
Husbands, fathers are in the perfect position to let their wives, well, especially daughters, but even wives know, that's just a little too short. That's too tight, because having been young men themselves, they know what catches young boys' eyes, and women and certainly young daughters aren't always aware of how revealing clothing can be.
Right. Exactly. It's ultimately comes down to, first of all, the leader's responsibility to set the rules for the modesty. But like you said, there are times when it's a very by situation decision that you say, no, that's not going to work. And it would be the wife or the daughter's responsibility to submit to that. That's a good one. And I'll expand on that a little bit more, to say that I believe modesty, and not just the clothing modesty, but modesty in general, is a protection of your marriage. That it's a submission to say, I honor my marriage, and I'm not going to just tell everything about my marriage. I'm not going to show everything about my marriage. And it's a submission to that, to the union itself. Comments? What else? And in what ways is that submission? I mean, what is it that you're respecting about him in that regard?
I mean, one, I think my way is better because, I mean, I'm putting aside my way that I would think would be better. Like, I think it would be easier for me to just do it all by myself. And even though that doesn't follow my train of thought, like, I just have to stop that and then let his will be over mine in that situation.
Okay. I think that's a good example. Did you have something, Tom?
Yeah, I was going to say I appreciate your point about my modesty, because modesty needs to be looked at a lot of different ways. We sometimes forget that Genesis 3:21, when both the man and woman were naked, what did God do? He clothed both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Now that means I've got a responsibility toward modesty, and so does my wife.
Right.
Not just her.
Exactly. And that's a great extra point to what I was saying. It's not just the wife's responsibility. You're right. Very good. Yes, Shannon.
I think another point to get practical when it comes to submission is, and you, I think you touched on it a little bit already, to sort of not share everything, for a wife to not share everything about her husband, but also when it comes to criticism. Let criticism be behind closed doors and always be done for the right reasons. And men, I mean, if you're anything like me, I mean, there's plenty of things to criticize. I mean, there's definitely reasons that we should open our ears and be willing to accept criticism, but it needs to always be done in a respectful way. And respectful can never be when it's shared with anyone besides just the husband.
Absolutely.
So if it's something that's done in a public setting, that would be the opposite of submission. But I think that would be a practical way to be submissive.
I think you're exactly right. And that gets into another point I was going to make in respect, that a lot of times how a wife might come to her husband and say there's an issue might be critical in a negative way. And for a man, that can be more devastating than the woman realizes sometimes. That when she comes to him and she says, you are awful, that's how it's kind of come across, is you are an awful man, you're not a very good leader. That's not how she means it. She wants to resolve something. But sometimes the man can take it that way, as a lack of respect for who he is. And so, I think it should be important to remember for wives when they're talking to their husbands, consider how you use your words, that you are respectful to him, that you aren't being overly critical, or that you don't jump to conclusions that may or may not be true. It's important to ask of, okay, what's going on here? What were your motives in doing this, whatever you said or whatever you did? That way it's clear in both of your minds of what is this discussion really about, instead of this one thing that happened and now I'm going to talk about 50 other things that have happened in the same way.
All the noodles are touching.
Yeah, exactly. The noodles touch a lot of things. One that I would submit is you actually put your husband second. Christ first, husband second. That would be above kids, friends, parents, the house, anything. And that would, when you actually do that, you are giving him the submission that is expected. That you aren't saying, well, you know, I was going to have dinner with you tonight, but this came up and I would rather go out with my mom tonight, or something of that sort. And I will say, I do think that there are cases when that is okay, when it's discussed and agreed upon. But it's not a, hey, I'm just going to go do this. I'd rather not be with you tonight. That would not be a submission. Something that we've kind of touched on here and there, but ultimately it's an obedience. Submission is a full-out obedience, and something that we've, and I'm sure you have too with your children, dealt with a lot with Jude, is it's not just about the obedience, it's about obedience with the right attitude. that if I ask him to go pick up his Legos and he stomps off and just throws them into the bucket, he is doing what I asked, but he's not being submissive about it. He's got a bad attitude. He's angry with me. And it's not, I mean, even if there's others around it, that's not a good example to others about, you know, obedience to his parents, honoring his parents. And I think the same still holds true with wives and husbands, that when a husband asks something to be done, he makes the final decision and says, this is what's going to happen, that the wife doesn't walk around moping and upset that that's the decision. Once it's made, it's made. That's the decision. He's made it. Would we have that same attitude if Christ was right there to say, you know, he's saying, you know, follow me, do exactly what I've said, and you're going to say, well, I really don't want to do that. That's hard. It may be, but that's not the attitude that we need to have with our Creator. Yes. It is.
The husband, I guess, should have mercy. He has the right to demand, I guess, anything. You will walk backwards throughout the house every time you set foot in the door. But he needs to be reasonable understanding. She's at his mercy.
Absolutely. That's a very good point. I like that point. And ultimately, it comes back to if I'm doing what I'm supposed to as a Christian, this relationship should work out very well. All right. That's all I have. Next week, we will get into the next lesson. I can't remember which number it is, but it's the one about being a help meet or a help mate. Thank you.